Hello and welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's Thursday morning. It's a beautiful Thursday morning here by our spacious studios. Central Avenue is gleaming. The pawn shop looks beautiful today. The bar that opens at 8 a.m. It's a terrific day, and it is the Roundtable panel. Ray is in for Joe today. That's me. What a panel we have. We have Terry Gibson, who is a former and future New York State senator. He's now a SUNY New Paltz communications professor. Siena College professor of comparative politics, Vera Icarius Kelly, is here. Dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at UAlbany, Robert Griffin, is here. And Dan Irizarry is here, chairman of Capital District Latinos. Also, Alan is here. The email address is panel at WAMC.org if you would like to join the conversation today. Panel at WAMC.org, the list of rules, keep them brief, no attachments, no links, no abbreviations, please proofread, one a day per customer, try to keep them direct, and spare us the sarcasm as we always screw it up. Panel at WAMC.org is the email address. And Alan Shartok, WAMC's Alan Shartok, I hate to break the news to you, old fellow. There is a fun drive on Monday morning.
There is, and you and I will be sitting across from each other.
Oh.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Here comes our wonderful Amber, and she has some information that is fascinating for all of us.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, get your fingers on the phone, and I'm going to tell you what's up. We now have a pair of tickets for you to wear to Tanglewood on July 28th in the shed for a pledge of $150.
What's the show? Or maybe there's no show. That's why we got the tickets.
Oh, this is something, Vera, you'll like. Wagner's Valkyries is going to be the performance, an extraordinary doubleheader. Two performances during the day, 2:30 and 6:30, and your tickets are good for both.
Wow.
If you like Wagner, I don't. You know,
I was going to say, was that a little snide remark about Wagner and Germans? Yeah, I was taking a close look at you.
You thought so?
You beginning already?
How wrong you are.
Really?
No, but Wagner, do you spell your name with a W? Or V?
That's right.
That's right. Okay, but it's Wagner's music is extraordinary. It's wonderful. It is compelling. I personally find him, you know, personally obnoxious.
Right. Way to sell it, Alan.
So
we have July 28th. It's a pair of tickets to the shed in Tanglewood. Now, how do you get those and why?
Okay. So if you put something in during this time from 9 to 10:30 and then it comes off the table and we'll use it in the regular fun drive.
Yeah.
But here's what.
Okay.
We are getting very close. We have a current total of 437,666. Ooh.
That's tremendous.
What's the matter with you? You never say tremendous. If you say tremendous, people will say, "Well, I don't have to do anything."
Oh, okay. Okay. That's awful.
So that's fine. Okay, so here's the deal. We have raised 437,666. That means to go, we need to get what is that?
About $62,333.
So today, during this time, we have to raise $25,000.
This morning?
This morning.
Okay.
No, we can do that.
Okay.
We've done it before.
Sure.
We could do that. And if you want to go to the a pair of tickets to Tanglewood on Sunday, July 28th in the shed for a pledge of $150. Wagner's Valkyries is an extraordinary doubleheader. Two performances during the day, 2:30 and 6:30, and your tickets are good for both.
Tremendous.
Yeah,
So $100 pledge gets you a pair of those.
$150.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I should be listening and taking
notes.
You should listen more often. The fun drive, of course, begins on Monday morning. Everything we raise in the lockbox now counts. So we're hoping to get to the halfway point in the drive before we start on the air on Monday morning.
We have to.
Okay.
As an organization that depends on all of us kicking in something, doing something. Now, I have to say something about Tanglewood. I have to say something about Mark Volpe, their director, and the entire staff there. They have been so kind to us. This is worth a lot of money. And the fact that they're doing it for us just shows you what good friends and pals they are. They're very, very special people. And it is going to be the Tanglewood Music Center Orchestra, Anders Nelson, conductor, Amber Wagner, soprano, Christine Gorky, soprano, and Stephen Blythe and Simon O'Neill, tenor. These are great names.
I'm sorry, Darth Vader is making an appearance here.
I was going to say, that's not Wagner.
That ain't no Wagner.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so anyway, this is a tremendous thing that they're offering to us, and we thank them extraordinarily for it. This offer will be withdrawn at 10:30 this
morning. Okay, now, how do people pledge? That's the key. That's the drive it home now.
That's the drive. Bring it on home now. What you do is you call 1-800-323-9262. Let me do that again.
Sure.
1-800-323-9262, and you're in the game. Or you can do it online at WAMC.org. Now, based on remember, this is in the shed.
Right.
This is in the shed. So if based on our experiences in the past, these are going to be flying out the window.
Why do they call it the shed? I mean, are there rakes in there and such?
It's always been known as the shed.
Okay.
Ever since the place has been built, and it is an extraordinary acoustic sound that you have in there.
Okay.
And sometimes when there's a bird that flies into the shed from the outside, they add to the, you know, ambiance of the place.
Mm.
But it is Tanglewood. There is no finer music festival in the world, not in the world, than Tanglewood.
Okay.
And people know it. And they also know they're going to call me later and they're going to say, can I have one of those tickets or two of those tickets? And the answer is no, you cannot, because they're all gone. So now is the time you got to do it.
What's that number?
1-800-323-9262.
Okay. All right.
Is that okay?
Yeah, we only have until 10:30. And we got to get this done, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And we need to get, how much did I say, 63?
63. Yep,
437 from 500 is something like 63.
62 something.
And some change.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller's first, maybe last, public statement on the Russia investigation is fueling fresh calls on Capitol Hill to begin impeachment proceedings against President Trump, a step that so far Democratic leaders have resisted. In brief remarks yesterday, Mueller indicated it's up to Congress to decide what to do with his findings. The special counsel reiterated that, bound by Justice Department policy, charging a sitting president with a crime was not an option. Mueller is closing his office. And the comments, he doesn't really want to comment anymore. This presumably would be his last word on the subject. Who wants first word on the subject today? All right. So, well, let's just cancel the show.
I'm always willing to do the first word.
Let's go back to fundraising.
I thought we were in the shed. Sorry. I thought the most interesting line of his entire press conference was, if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. I thought he came out and contradicted what the attorney general had said. And I thought it was a very clear call to Congress to begin impeachment proceedings. What I heard Mueller say was, read the Constitution first, read my report second. There is a process to deal with this situation. It's in Article 1, Section 2 and 3 of the Constitution, and we should be following it. I think he I don't see the case being closed, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders was trying to say yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about Nancy Pelosi is she's a terrific woman, and she is a very powerful person. She knows, and I know, although many of the people who listen to this station disagree with me, that if you impeach and you move forward with impeachment, and I'm not sure you have the votes, by the way, to do that, and you get an impeachment in the House, there will not be a conviction in the Senate. She knows, and we all know, that the president wants this. He saw Bill Clinton go through it. He thinks that the same thing will work for him. And so Nancy Pelosi says the thing to do is beat him in the elections. Not only that, take the House again, and this time take the Senate. also. I think she's absolutely right. And I think this is a time for great discipline on the part of the Democrats. Now, I understand, because I think Trump is the worst president that this country has ever had. I think he's leading us into fascism. He admires dictators all over the world. He's a terrible, terrible guy. But the main thing, it seems to me, that people should want and the Democrats should want, and I'm a registered, you know, non-enrolled voter, the main thing that the Democrats should want is to win that presidential election in 2020. I think Pelosi's absolutely right, and I think she really has a lot of guts to do what she's doing.
See, well, and I'm sorry, I got to just disagree with you, Alan, is that, you know, the oath of office comes with protecting and upholding the Constitution of the United States. The first step of impeachment is an indictment process. If they believe that the law has been broken and there was obstruction, which Mueller laid out 11 different cases for, then I think they are duty-bound not to think about the politics in the election, but to think about what the balance of power is and what this does to the future of the Constitution.
Now, I also want to say something else, because I also happen to disagree with you for a simple reason. I think, in general, the American public has not been entirely educated on what has happened with the Mueller investigation. There's a lot of spin out there, but in essence, initiating hearings, officially organized impeachment hearings, will allow the general public to listen in to testimonies, which gives life to this skeleton. In other words, Mueller reminded Congress that it is its duty to begin to investigate through officially organized systematic hearings now. And I believe that is the approach to educate the general public on what has been going on with this presidency.
I agree with that as well. And I also disagree with Alan Startalk. It's always dangerous to do that, but I'm going to do it.
You know what? By the next segment, this could just be me and Alan in here.
I probably won't be here.
By the way, it's one vote. This is my side, and four votes the other side.
But my perspective is a little different on this, in that my concern is that this decision to hold off on impeachment, the concerns about how it might impact the election in 2020, is all based on this idea that we are somehow living in a time where norms are upheld. Think about how many norms this president has uprooted. He has consistently shown that he is committed to uprooting every single norm of our democracy.
Agreed, but is a norm a law? In other words, a norm is different from if you broke the law.
No, but what I'm getting at is not about what's legal and what's not legal. Is that we should not expect that the 2020 election cycle will operate as it normally has. We should not expect that this president will abide by the normal rules of engagement in election campaigns as normal candidates normally have.
All true.
We should not even expect that should this president unfortunately maybe win the election, that he will abide by the transition of power that we've normally had.
Okay, so what does that have to do with impeachment? If you impeach him and don't convict him, what happens?
It has
then
to do that by deciding not to move forward with impeachment because we somehow think that we're living in a normal world where things will happen in a normal election is just a fantasy. But we should go ahead and move forward with this process because this president is not going to leave this office by any normal democratic procedure. We're going to have to show the American public that he has violated
the law. Hang on. Are you saying that if he doesn't win, he's not going to leave?
I just don't see this president doing anything that I don't see him leaving. No, I see him only leaving by physical force.
You mean if he doesn't win the election, he won't leave, is what Terry Gibson
will
say.
I think that he will find every way he possibly can to disrupt the election process before we get to that, and that should he win or lose, he's going to find a way to stay in office.
Very frightening.
It is frightening, but look, why shouldn't we be frightened?
It's plausible.
We should be terrified about what this president is capable of doing between now and the election.
I hate getting into anybody's motives, but you're a former Democratic state senator.
Yes.
You might run for political office again.
Who that's knows? What they
for
say.
President.
That's what the word is.
We need another candidate for president.
And you're playing to your base. I understand that. Because you know that the Democrats hate this guy's guts, and this is a way of doing it. Now, I don't want to get involved in getting down to your basic sense of why you're doing
why
this.
Why stop motive. Now? Go ahead.
I've already done it.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. You're doing a great job.
How do you defend yourself, sir?
Yeah.
I accuse you.
I just think that, you know, we need to understand that this president is capable of doing terrible things.
That's right.
And he continually has done terrible things.
What, do you think I'm
things.
Defending him?
No,
I'm thinking about the way to get rid of him.
So we can't try to strategize based on a normal process that we've had since the beginning of the country, because we're heading into something that is not going to be normal. This president is going to try to burn the place down in order to preserve his presidency.
You may be
he's
right.
To violate every norm that's there.
You may
he's gonna. Why are we talking about this in a future tense? He's already burning down every institution or trying to light fire to all of it, and then he wants us to believe that he's the fireman, which is part of the despicable strategy behind
all
of this.
And perhaps it doesn't make any sense to look at the Clinton impeachment as a comparison for us. Different context. Exactly.
All right, we need to take a break here. Terry Gibson is here. Vera Akarios-Kelly, Robert Griffin, Dan Irizarry, Alan Shartok. The email address is panel@wamc.org if you want to share your thoughts. Don't forget, the lockbox is open at wamc.org or 1-800-323-9262. We have a big challenge. The fund drive starts Monday. Every dollar we raise will count on day one, which is coming up. More roundtable ahead. Yeah, that's Redneck Jazz. It's Buddy Emmons and Danny Gatton. And, oh, thank you, Mike Bowen, the engineer, for putting that one in there. It's the roundtable. It's a Thursday. It's Thursday, right?
Yes.
Thursday, right?
All day.
Okay. Yeah. It's 9:34. Ray is in for Joe. I don't have a calendar. I just bring papers in with me. We have a panel today, and it's a decent one. Alan is here, Terry Gibson, Vera Akarios-Kelly, Robert Griffin, and Dan Irizarry, who is chairman of Capital District Latinos. Dan, you have an event coming up.
Yes, we do. June 1st, the beginning of hurricane season. I'm happy to announced that the Cultural Empowerment and Community Engagement Center on 160 Central Avenue, just down the street from WAMC, is having a family wellness event from 11 to 4. It's going to feature two groups, one acting group that goes by the name of Y No Había Luz, There Was No Light, from Puerto Rico, both groups from Puerto Rico, and José Luis y su banda Onírica, which is in La Puerta Roja, which is I won't even tell you to whet your appetite and your curiosity so you can come. But there's going to be music, there's going to be acupuncture, there's going to be massage, 26 exhibitors, including the League of Women Voters, because we're very interested in registering the Latino community to vote in this next election. And we're also having just an incredible array of activities, including for children.
And what's the date on that, please?
It's June 1st, Saturday.
Yeah. This where is that? 160?
It's 160 Central Avenue, the Cultural Empowerment and Community Engagement Center at 160 Central Avenue.
Now, I might stop down there and get a massage.
And it's free.
Yeah. Will Robert Kraft
gratis.
Be
I don't know. No? Sure. Everyone is welcome. Please.
That sounds great.
If you don't have a kid, just grab one and bring them with you. No, I'm not
you
advocating
know what, Dan?
Kidnapping.
That's Dan Irizarry, ladies and gentlemen. The Thank email you. Address here on the roundtable is panel@wamc.org, and we do have some letters, but Alan, please reiterate what's going on with the fund drive.
Okay, now we need about $60,000 to get to the $500,000 mark. We are doing something that we almost never do. We're taking out the Tanglewood tickets now. And so a pair of tickets to Tanglewood on Sunday, July 28th in the shed for a pledge of $150. Wagner's Valkyries, doubleheader. It's going to be on 2:30 and 6:30, and your tickets are good for both. You can eat there. They got wonderful food and stuff. And Andres Nelson will be the conductor, obviously. A wonderful, wonderful cast, and it's going to be terrific. But they are going out. I just went out to the front office. They're flying out the window. If you want to get into this, in the shed, Sunday, July 28th, our wonderful friends at Tanglewood are offering this to us. Now,
how do you get them, and what kind of a pledge are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about $150. I just said that if you were listening, and
you might want to reiterate.
That $150. Did I say something that was cruel?
Not yet.
$150. You get
Stay tuned. You get
the two tickets. It's going to be unbelievable.
And how do people pledge?
You pledge by calling 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. The phones are ringing off the hook. Better you should go to WAMC.org and do it that way.
Right you are.
And every one of them will be time-stamped, so we'll know whether you qualify for these tickets.
Okay.
But we're going to take it back as soon as this 10:30 is over.
All right, sir. And the email address here on the Roundtable panel is panel@WAMC.org, and Alan will read some of the letters we received.
I will. Kevin says, "Dear panel, I was previously against impeachment due to it politically helping Trump. After Mueller's speech, that changed. Put it on the Republicans to not vote for him out in the Senate and let them be on the wrong side of history. By the way, McConnell is the worst person in the world." As you know,
good letter.
Yeah.
Somebody
Thank
else
you,
agrees
Kevin.
With most of the panel, so that's a good letter.
So it's five, it's, what is it, 4-1?
Five to the letter.
5-1.
No, with the letter writer, they're saying it's five. Yeah. Now five to
now
one.
Now we're now keeping count.
Four panelists.
No, but you haven't checked in.
I am the impartial moderator here, the referee.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Russ says, "No finding, no foul. The case for obstruction of justice without a finding of any crime is iffy at best. Investigations can continue, but the Trump base would not be surprised to find out he had sketchy legal and financial entanglements. Trump has stonewalled many legal challenges in his career. The current administration's failures in foreign policy, integration, tax policy, and more will, over the course of 4 years, be much more fertile grounds for the opposition." I guess that's a vote from my position.
And yes. I think that there's a point that has to be made. I think Mueller was trying to make it, and I think some people on TV were picking up on it. And that is that the Russia investigation is called the Russia investigation. It's not called the investigation into collusion. It's about the way the Russians came and tried to alter our system.
Which he was very specific about.
That's right. Yeah. And so I think the Democrats missed an opportunity because, and don't get me wrong, I agree with the sentiment, but by going after, just trying to establish that Vladimir Putin was on the phone with Trump telling him what to do and saying, "We're going to send bots after your enemies," that was the wrong tack to take. The better tack to have taken, which would have eventually led to all of the uncovering of all of this, was to go at the Russian meddling in the election, first and foremost.
Isn't that what Mueller did, though?
He did, but I don't think that Congress followed suit. I think there were some elements of Congress were more interested in the salacious part.
Yeah, obstruction and collusion.
In the old, the tape is going to be revealed with Trump talking to Vladdy about, the hotel in Moscow. That didn't happen. And so people were disappointed. And so the other side decided, well, nothing to see here. And the narrative has continued to let's move on.
But just because I couldn't find a indictment for collusion, there are 11 instances of obstruction,
Absolutely.
Which is still a violation of the law.
And a serious violation.
Alan, if you had done it, you'd be under indictment right now.
No question.
This is part of my
heartburn.
If
I had cheated on my taxes, I'd be mm-hmm. on the way to the hoosegow right now. No question.
But coming back to the Russia point also, I think it's very important to remember the larger global context. It's not only in the United States where the Russians
That's right.
have used that technique.
That's right.
We know they were entangled in the Brexit vote. We know they were entangled in various European, Central European election processes. They have meddled with the bot system or through the bot system and through social media extensively over the past sort of 6 years. And they have succeeded. And that is something to keep in mind.
And do we really know the extent to which they meddled in some county level politics or voting counts? Because there are two that we know of in Florida. Are there more that some months from now are going to be exposed and somebody's going to say,
I wouldn't doubt it. But it's one thing to know it. It's another thing, or to suspect it. It's another thing to prove it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now raised 444-428. We need $20,572 to reach our goal. We can do that, and we need your help. This is your station. You've all participated in it. All the kidding around we do, we never kid around about what the needs of this radio station are to keep going. Do I think it's possible that this station could fall? Yeah, I do, because look who the president of the United States is right now. And things happen. People don't show up. They take it for granted. Don't do that, please. Get on a phone and let us hear from you. I'm scared. I'll be honest with you. I'm scared. We now need 20,572 people, which is 205 people. And wherever you are, please, please listen to what I'm having to say here. We only have 2 days to go before the fund drive, so I need you on a phone now, 1-800-323-9262. Let's go, everybody. We can make this happen. And again, if you call now before 10:30, you're going to get a pair of tickets on Tanglewood Sunday, July 28th in the Shed for a pledge of $150. It's in the Shed, folks, in the Shed.
If you want them. Obviously, you don't have to pledge that much, and you don't have to take them even if you do pledge that much.
And you don't have to sit in the Shed. You could sit out on the wonderful lawn.
Or you could pledge more.
Or you could pledge a lot more.
Yeah.
So I wanted to come back to the comment on Florida, because I think the election question is a very important one. I find it fascinating, or how about disturbing, that we have a lot of Republicans who are opposed to using secondary paper ballots to make sure that we actually have a fair and clean election process, when in fact we should do everything possible to assure the public's trust in our electoral system and to find that a continuation of just using machines that are potentially vulnerable to meddling is quite frightening, I have to say, in my mind.
Indeed. I just want to say Mike has written to us and says it's time to impeach. Good morning. I respectfully disagree with Alan. From what I have read in the Mueller report, from what Mr. Mueller said yesterday, there's only one way to resolve this. It is to start impeachment proceedings. To me, the danger of reelecting Trump is worth the process that is constitutionally set forth. I think most Americans will see through the Republican charade in the U.S. Senate when they refuse to impeach. Finally, I think another 4 years of Trump will destroy the Republican Party forever. And thanks, Mike from Saratoga Springs. I know you all have something to say about that, but I got to tell you, I think Nancy Pelosi is brilliant. I think she knows she won the House of Representatives because of Trump. I think she knows that if there's not an impeachment thing, it'll go forward. It'll go to the 2020 election. It's going to take that long anyway, and she knows that the Senate isn't going to convict. I just think it's not right.
But it would just be a mistake to underestimate what length this president and the Republican Party would be willing to go to disrupt these elections.
Okay.
Remember, this is the same party that was able to find a way to get George W. Bush elected the first time after we had our first real election crisis back, which involved Florida, by the way.
Indeed.
This is the same Republican Party and administration that found a way to not go through the typical constitutional nominating process for a Supreme Court nominee when President Obama put somebody up and managed to find a way to get Brett Kavanaugh.
All true. But didn't you just say before, and it boggled my mind, that you thought that he was capable and that people wouldn't somehow find a gun if he really tried to close down the government and stay in office?
I don't think I used the word firearm.
Right.
I didn't talk about violence. We never allude to violence as a result. But I do think this president is capable of finding ways.
You don't think people would go out in the streets if he tried to stay in office?
I think huge peaceful protests.
So mass mobilization in opposition, showing up on the street with streets with pots and pans, yes, banging up a storm.
I think there's too much of a threat right now, Alan. Yeah, I have to add my voice to the panelists who have come out in favor of impeachment, because this president has left us no other choice, because he is stonewalling every subpoena. He is telling his staff not to comply. And so far, he has flouted the Constitution, the rule of law.
We all agree on that.
And if the Congress were to impanel, or whatever the term is, an impeachment proceeding, then that would be less available to him. His ability to stonewall, as far as I understand it, I don't know, the constitutional authorities will be...
He'll do exactly what Terry is implying. He'll say no.
Well, he's going to stonewall, but that doesn't mean that Congress can't do their job. And by the way, he's also stonewalling on doing anything about Russia, which is clearly now well documented and having interfered in our elections, and helped get him elected. And he's stonewalling on doing anything about that.
But Alan, also, it's not a question of how smart or how much support the speaker has. It's a question of the same way I don't think Trump should have the right to pick and choose what laws he is going to follow or be held accountable for. I don't think she in Congress have the right to pick and choose what laws they're going to follow. The Constitution lays out a process. If you think the president is guilty of crime, there is a process.
And by the way,
because the president is not above the law.
And by the way, you have nothing like a majority or even a majority of the Democrats in the House of Representatives. They are all for following their leader, Nancy Pelosi, because they know it's a disaster. Now, the four of you don't know it's a disaster. I do. And it's that simple. Now, you say he might install himself in office and refuse to leave the White House. I doubt it very much. But if he does, I think there will be hell to pay of the kind I suggested and was roundly criticized for.
All right, let's take a quick break here. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Terry Gibson, Vera Icarius-Kelly, Robert Griffin, and Dan Irizarry are on the panel. And you at home with the keyboard and sending us the emails. We'll be back. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's the Roundtable Panel, 9:49 on a Thursday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Alan is here. Our little friend Alan is here. Terry Gibson, Vera Icarius-Kelly is here, Robert Griffin, and Dan Irizarry. And the Lockbox Challenge continues. And, you know, this all leads up to the on-air fund drive, which begins on Monday morning.
It does. And would you like it if I said, you know, the round...
Come on up to the microphone. The round
Ray Graff, you said the little Alan. Well, you think I didn't catch that?
You're in a higher chair
okay.
now.
Okay,
so,
what are we doing here? We're trying to imitate Trump and his name
you
calling?
See, thank you, Vera. Thank
yes,
you very
Ray,
much. I appreciate
Vera
it.
Vera is very angry with you. Okay,
thanks,
so, all right, so here we go. It will do us no good to win the presidency if we don't also win the Senate. Mitch will continue to do what Mitch has done since 2008. To start impeachment in the House now will only die in the Senate and embolden Trump. The House is in a no-win situation, and that's from Melinda.
Well, I think there's one aspect to consider, because I've shifted fairly recently, as listeners know. I believe that we have sort of this report from Mueller that seems more like a skeleton. Most people, it now turns out, have not read the report. They were just hoping for some kind of a TV or radio summary of it. And now what Congress should be doing is putting some meat on that skeleton. And that requires people to come forward and be interviewed, they have hearings, mm-hmm. so that everybody can become more educated has been happening. But in a more systematic way
It has to be on C-SPAN. Well,
now.
No, the investigation.
No, and the other thing that has to happen is a systematic plan to pull in one person after another to mm-hmm. tell the full story.
And what if they say, as Trump has been saying all along, no, I'm not coming?
Well, then you subpoena them.
Well, they're doing that now?
No. These are people that have already provided information to Mueller, so they cannot simply sit at home and not come to testify. This is a different world out there if you initiate impeachment hearings.
Well, I think that he probably will say no. I think there's every reason to believe that he will. But is that a reason why those members of Congress that have been elected to represent the people shouldn't follow the constitutional law and do their job?
There is one reason to do it my way as opposed to your predictable political way, and that is to get rid of the guy. You're going to get rid of him in an election. If you impeach him, you don't get to the election. The Senate vetoes, and that's the end of that. Come on now. The main thing here is to get rid of Trump. That's what Nancy Pelosi says, and that's what I say. Anyway, Vance writes, "Hi, panel. I disagree with Alan on impeachment. A political calculation is very dangerous and may backfire. If Pelosi doesn't move forward with an impeachment process, the Dems will lose voters. Some of us are tired of politics and crave moral leadership." That's Vince from the Bird Hill Farm.
And you know, you can do multiple things at the same time. You can do impeachment hearings and you can pursue policy. It's not like you can only do one issue at a time. So the argument that we only have to put forward policy improvements is not valid in my mind. We have to do both. We now have to pursue these kinds of questions to really get the American public engaged.
But what evidence also is there to support the idea that if we do not move forward with impeachment proceedings, that somehow we will win the election? We meaning the Democrats. What evidence is there to support that?
Well, we know the opposite is true. We know that if we don't, if we do impeach, it's going to help Trump.
How do we know that?
We know that?
What evidence do we
because
have?
Because I'm telling you that.
If I have to stop
Richard
the show.
Says, panel, once again, Alan is right. Impeachment plays into Trump's hands. Keep your eyes on the goal defeating him in 2020. I'm tired of Democrats being outmanned. This comes from a second generation liberal, and that's from Rich in New Hartford. And Abby says,
hang on. I think Terry wants to say something.
Well, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say the Democrats are being out-messaged right now.
That's right.
They're being out-messaged. And that's why this impeachment process would help us get on a message.
Yeah. I don't think so. When you take a look at the polling and you show –
Where is the megaphone? Where do the Democrats have a megaphone? Once in a while when Nancy Pelosi has a press conference, the biggest megaphone is the presidency. And it has drowned out this educational message that the Democrats are trying – to go with, and it's just not working. We need a bigger megaphone, and that's what impeachment provides us.
Abby says, also completely unsympathetic to this argument that it's hard and that we're going to put a political lens on what's a legal issue. And again, by not beginning the process of impeachment, basically what we're saying to future presidents is that the president is above the law. I think what Mueller did yesterday was that he put a marker down to Congress, actually daring them to do the job that they're supposed to do.
I agree.
Okay, Abby says, clarification. Hi, panel. What is the difference, if any, between an impeachment inquiry and the impeachment process? I hope I have the correct language. I am a first-time email the panel listener. In appreciation, Abby from Pelham.
Thanks for writing, Abby. That's very nice.
So an inquiry begins the process of impeachment. If you look at the Constitution in Article 1, Section 2, The House of Representatives is the first stop for an impeachment process. It's akin in my mind to embodiment of a grand jury.
You got that wrong. I'm sorry for interrupting, Bob, but you got that wrong. It is the duty of the House of Representatives to do impeachment. It's not the first step in the impeachment process. Impeachment happens in the House. Then what happens is it goes to the Senate and it's for trial, and it's either convicted or not.
So I think Bob was trying to say something.
Yeah,
he said it's the first step in the impeachment.
Nobody's trying
process.
To clarify the difference in impeachment proceeding and the actual impeachment. It's two different things, and he was trying to explain.
Right,
the difference.
You guys are all together.
So then the actual act of impeachment occurs in the Senate, which is overseen by the Chief Justice.
No, you're wrong. It is not the actual.
I got the Constitution right here in my back pocket.
Then you better look at it again. Then you better look at it again because what you're going to find out is impeachment is solely the responsibility of the House of Representatives and not the Senate. So,
Alan, I'll bet you tickets to
the removal.
Put it in the lockbox.
No, you're talking about removal from office, and that's the duty of the Senate. Right. Impeachment happens in the House. As a political scientist, the former joint professor of political science, I know I've taught this to the kids for 1,000 years, and I know what I'm talking about.
So the process then, in other words, would be to begin hearings initiated by the House?
Absolutely. If I could read the Constitution to you, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for the purpose, they shall be in oath of affirmation. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold or enjoy any office of such honor. That is Section 3.
Alan is right. It starts in the House, and then the Senate does the trial.
The trial. Impeachment. The power to impeach or to basically politically indict goes to the House of Representatives. It doesn't go to the Senate. It doesn't start there. You have a trial based on the impeachment. It's as if somebody were indicted in a criminal trial, which is a different process altogether, and then would be convicted before a jury or acquitted before a jury.
Never in my entire time of doing this show have I seen so much acrimony between four people who agree with each other about 99% of the stuff.
Have you ever seen anybody whip out the Constitution, though? That's the question.
That was impressive. He's misinterpreting what the Constitution says. Okay, let's go on.
Well, one more letter, and then we'll take a break.
I think you're both saying the same thing.
Impeachment. I'm very afraid that the worst the president's base would respond to impeachment by starting a civil war. They have already pledged to do so, and they have the majority of the weapons that exist in this country. There are still deep resentments left over from the last civil war. Some people would see this as finishing that job. I worry that this would destroy all remnants of democracy and civility in this nation, and that's from Helen in Greenfield. Greenfield. You want one more? And that's what we got. Well, no.
Whatever. Hey, listen, let's just fight about it.
Okay. Trump says, Trump leaving office. Trump will never concede defeat in an election. He will claim voter fraud and eventually be physically removed by enforceable court order. That being said, impeachment will not pass the Senate. Win the next election. Michael. A very smart man.
Okay, so let's just remind people that the challenge is coming. I don't have any current numbers
I should have one.
Lockbox challenge, but we will take a break for news and remind everybody that if they have not kicked into the lockbox, it's time to do it.
Okay, you're right, Ray. We're down to the last 13,879. That's what we're down to the last 13,879. We're making real progress, but we only basically have a half an hour to make $13,000, and we would love it. And if you call now, you get a pair of tickets to Tanglewood on Sunday, July 28th in the Shed for a pledge of $150.
And you can do it at WAMC.org or you can give us a call. And the roundtable, I'm going to give shots of lithium to everybody here and we're all going to mellow out. And then we're going to do another half an hour of the show after news. I got to tell you, this panel is full of it today. They are completely at each other's throats through the entire break. I wish you could see what I'm seeing
people
right now.
People just wish they could hear what we said during the break.
I love this. I live for this acrimony. It's the roundtable panel, all great friends. Terry Gibson, Vera Ercurius Kelly, Robert Griffin, and Dan Irizarry, as well as WAMC's Alan Shartok. You can join the fun and try to keep it nice. Email us at panel@WAMC.org. If possible, be nice.
Now we have, this is really great news. We have done very well, but we have a total of 456,280. We need to get to our goal today, $8,720.
Okay.
So we've really come a long way.
Yes.
That means everybody gets on a phone. Everybody does everything that they can to volunteer and get somebody else to get on a phone because this is going to be very, very close. We need basically 87 people right now in this half an hour. And
in less than that now. We have till 25 after, so we have to roll.
We have to go. Let's read some letters.
Okay. By the way, the phone number is 800-323-9262 if you do want to make
Did
a
Did you say 1-800-323-9262?
Exactly.
You said that?
Or you can go to WAMC.org.
Or WAMC.org.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Temple says, it worked for him the last time. If he doesn't get reelected, he may well be off to prison for life. He absolutely wants election interference. So, of course, he isn't working to curb it. Simple, says Temple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think there's a point. Yeah.
And Doug in sunny, warm Florida says, I agree with Alan on the impeachment subject. Can you all imagine how the White House spin machine could work this for the next 18 months? Don't forget the president has the tallest soapbox. The Democrats' time would be better spent go after an impeachment if Barr to make their report. Their point in a year leading up to an election, and that's Doug in sunny, warm Florida. And then we heard from Polly, who said, waiting for the election? Obama did not alert Americans to Russian intervention 2016 because he thought Hillary would win. Obama did not raise
that's
hell.
That's not true, actually. Yeah, sorry.
Obama did not raise hell when O'Connell blocked Merrill Garland's nomination because Obama thought Hillary would win. We cannot plan any moves based on how we think the election results will be. Haven't we learned that lesson?
Okay, now go ahead, Robert.
So from personal experience, I can tell you that the Obama administration was deeply involved with the states trying to protect the electoral system in 2016. I was on the conference calls, so I know what occurred. So that narrative that Obama and the administration and DHS at the time did not try to protect the systems is absolutely categorically false.
Now, you're talking about the actual voting systems?
The voting systems, correct.
Would all these problems have gone away if we went back to the metal machines?
I think that's one of the solutions you could start to look at is that how, you know, is what technology can be best protected. And that was part of the conversations that Secretary Johnson, who was the head of DHS at the time, was having with the secretaries of states across the country. But this was flagged. And in fact, I will just point out to the writer of that letter that Secretary Johnson took a lot of heat because he actually designated the electoral system as critical infrastructure the first time in our history, and he got a tremendous amount of pushback from some of the states.
Okay
so Gordon from Applause, New York, Applause as we say, even if the Senate defeats an impeachment motion, why does it follow that Trump will win the election? We can impeach and vote him out. Mm-hmm. You know, you can impeach, but the thinking here is that if you impeach him, you will give him something to campaign about how the system is rigged, how the Democrats are after him. I'm with Paul.
And his saying 38%
is going to be. Yeah. This is not how you deal with a bully. And why can't we impeach and beat him in the election at the same time?
Because, and you know what? He's bullying right now. He's using the same strategy right now. It's not like it's going to change.
So you don't agree with Pelosi?
With or without impeachment.
So you don't agree with Pelosi that he wants impeachment?
No, I don't think he does. I think,
well, you're all wrong.
I don't think he does.
Well, I
think he keeps saying he doth protest too much.
Okay, here we go. Josh says, I believe that if the House ignores its responsibility to uphold their oaths of office and that show that no one is above the law, I personally will not vote for him. I will personally not vote for the first time in my adult life. I can't vote for a party that won't do their job, and I will never vote for a Republican.
And I think that there's the danger right there. If we don't take up the challenge, there's going to be a sizable amount of the Democratic Party that's really in favor of this, and not for crazy ideas, but because it's about justice.
So let me see. I'm really angry if I understand what you're saying. We saw people the last time out who, when Bernie wasn't elected, decided they weren't going to vote. Remember that?
Yeah.
Stupid. Number one.
They voted for Trump.
They didn't vote for Trump.
No,
they did not participate in the election. And here's a guy, who says, if they don't impeach, I'm not voting. Mm-hmm. You're going to vote by not voting. You're going to vote for Trump. It's that simple. Okay.
I don't know if it's that simple, but may I just say that?
Well, it is that simple.
The Clinton impeachment occurred over a sexual peccadillo, right? I mean, there's nothing else there. He lied about that woman, right? Mm-hmm. We have a president who started out with sexual peccadillos as part of his
background.
What,
you think
I'm
going to argue with you about that?
No, no, no. And then has heaped on to all of that indignity all kinds
of
crimes.
So what? I mean, where is the basis here?
Do we stand for the rule of law or do we not?
We do stand for the rule of law. And if you find a violation of a particular law, good. But the fact that he said you got to grab women by the you-know-what and you got to do this and you got to do that, that's a norm. You don't do it. You don't release your tax return. That's a norm. It's not required by law. So the violation of the norms is one thing. But you got to get him now on whether or not he broke the law. Where's the law? Okay.
Well, I think that's where the Mueller report comes in, and that you have to read it and see all of the information.
10 instances,
that is there.
11
and
instances,
that's why Nadler and the other guys are exactly right to be doing what they're doing.
Then why do so many of them not bother to read it yet?
Why Americans don't?
No, in Congress.
No, I mean, I don't think we know the numbers in Congress, but the general American public has not read it.
That's
those numbers are exceptionally
low. Well, the general American
public,
they published the Bill Clinton impeachment transcripts, too, and they didn't read that either. I mean, who wants to sit through
500 pages? I think Vera makes a very good
pages.
Point about education. You made it earlier. The people need to be educated in some way. And you know what?
We
can't
start now.
I think we need to have circles of people.
I you know what?
It has to happen on
having
a grassroots
people,
level.
Thank you.
It has to
having
start
people speak, base, and explain in a verbal manner what has been going on in the White House is essential and makes dramatic testimony for the general public to understand how bad it really is.
So, back in the Nixon impeachment, right, and the trials that were occurring, I remember being a high school student, and I remember coming home, dropping my books down, and watching. And I learned so much about the Constitution and about the rule of law, and it activated me in a way that I hadn't been activated since then.
I agree with you.
That was the beginning of my political awareness.
Ladies and gentlemen,
was those hearings.
My awareness is that we need $7,255. That's what we need now to make this. In 10 minutes. That means everybody on a phone now, or we're not going to make this. Please, do what you can. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. I need your help. We all need your help in order to keep the kind of discussion you're hearing here today. 1-800-323-9262. We need 72 of you, and I know we can do that if you just concentrate. Everybody gets down to it. That would be great. Okay, and I think we're making progress here. Josh says, I believe the House ignores its responsibility and its oath of office and show that no one is above the law. We did that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terry is absolutely right, says Claire. My fear is that Trump will create a fake crisis and cancel our election. The time to get rid of him is now. You're not going to get rid of him. The Senate is not going to vote to get rid of him. What are you talking about?
Well, it could be the process of building up to getting rid of him by giving the American public information they need to make a decision about who they want to vote for.
And what if, Terry, what if Pelosi is right and it is exactly the wrong thing? It is what this president wants.
I just want to be clear. What I hear from Pelosi is that she has not taken impeachment off the table, that
she hasn't.
Still willing to do it if the procedure that she wants to go through yields information allow her to do it. So she isn't saying no to impeachment.
That's correct.
I just want to be clear on that.
No,
yes.
You're clear.
And she actually,
right.
I'm forecasting right now, she will come around and engage in impeachment proceedings within the month.
Well, Carol says, panel, huge protests in support of science, women's issues, racial justice, and other issues have not made a single bit of difference to the Trump administration's behavior. Why would mass protests in the streets matter to the Trump administration and their supporters in the event of his refusal to vacate the Oval Office if he lost the 2020 election? The Trump administration has already shown they don't care about public opinion.
Because we get to see, other than 10,000 people in a stadium that have been handpicked by the Republican Party, we get to see people on the street mobilized.
Well, we've had them already. I was,
and it had an impact. It didn't. It's not that it didn't have an impact.
I was at the Women's March.
I don't agree.
You know, out in front of from Trump Tower, and I can tell you, they came, they yelled, they left. It didn't make a big difference.
Okay, I'm going to tell you where that difference comes in. Just watch women organize in this country against these absolutely hideous abortion laws that have been initiated in some of the southern states.
Is it happening now?
It is beginning to, we are organizing. Women are organizing. We are figuring out.
I'll be with you.
Yes, because this is such an offensive movement to the core. To think about the idea that a girl, a young girl
old.
Can be 12 years
rape
old, a rape victim, an incest victim, can be forced to carry a child to terms without any opportunity to speak up for herself, to control her body, or even her family, or even her physician.
It's a campaign against health care for poor people.
Absolutely. It is targeting predominantly women and girls in minority communities, and that is the emphasis.
And poor people, because the rich will always have the alternative.
But you won't have WAMC. We have 8 minutes to go, and we need a lot of help here. So anybody, we now need... We're down to the last $3,770.
Okay.
We're really close. So I need everybody on a phone. That's fantastic. We're moving ahead. Remember, you can get those Tanglewood tickets for In the Shed, pledge of $150 for Wagner's Valkyries. And it's going to be a heck of a time. We need you. We need everybody. We're trying to get to $465, and we need $3,770 to do it. If you can do something, if you can do $1,000, if you could do $5,000, if you could do $5, it would all be good.
You know, we all spend a lot of time in the car, and I can tell you that on the landscape, on the radio dial, this is the sole voice. If you want to listen to crazy talk about, you know, how the anti-Trump people have, like, you know, inundated the airwaves and the media is against us and it's all fake news, and then you try to find a voice, you can't. This is
I
the
did
only
it.
Voice.
I actually did it yesterday. We were playing something I didn't like, and so I said, "Well, I'm gonna try to listen. I'm gonna try to listen to the other side." And I found.
Is that during my show?
No.
Did you almost drive off the road?
And I found. One of these right-wing stations in which they just were talking about the liberal conspiracy against America and over and over and over again.
It used to be only on AM, right? Those voices?
Right.
And now they're
it's
proliferating
everywhere.
On FM.
This was in fact on AM.
Well, there's plenty on FM now.
But this gets back to, you know, freedom's not free, okay?
Right.
And the comment about, you know, the marches don't matter— You know, this generation really needs to look at what it took to change the Vietnam War.
That's right.
Okay. It needs to look at our history. And we haven't had a crisis in this country of this extent pretty much since Vietnam. And it's not going to be changed overnight. It's not going to be changed by coming out for an hour. This is going to be something that people have got to commit to. They've got to start now, and their voices need to be heard.
It begins here.
I agree with you.
And I know you do, because this is exactly what this radio station is about.
We need $3,770 wherever you are. We are so close. We only have 5 minutes to do
Correct,
it.
Correct, sir.
Do whatever you can. Please get somebody else to do it. You know, we're all in this together. That's all I got to say. We love you all, and we trust everybody. And we know that you like the idea that we're here duking it out and trying to figure out what's right, because that's what a true radio station does.
Unless it's a music station. Then they wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what kind of music they're playing.
Well, I guess you're right.
No.
Not Wagner. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
So I wanted to give you another example where I think mobilization really worked. Very recently, remember European Union election? We had the Green parties in Europe win significantly in a number of countries and in the European Union elections.
And in Germany.
And remember, it was a 15-year-old girl from Sweden, Greta Thunberg, who started this incredible pushback against the older generation to say, we are the ones that are going to be alive when you make bad policy now. We are the ones who are going to have to suffer the environmental consequences. And look at the movement that is created among high schoolers and young college kids all across Europe.
And it started by her sitting on the steps of the Capitol,
that
right?
That is exactly
just by herself with a sign.
And now see kids in the United States doing it. So it spreads around the world. The young people are mobilized and they're beginning to engage on specific topics. Well, and that works.
And it's already happened. We mobilized to get the Democrats to take over the United States House of Representatives. They flipped the New York State Senate. They flipped a lot of state legislatures. So that mobilization and that marching that happened all last year did pay off, and it will pay off again because the American public is going to be committed to doing that. And that's why I don't buy this argument that somehow by moving forward with the constitutional procedure of impeachment is going to somehow take away that energy. I think it's only going to add to the energy and information that people have to go out into the streets and protest and march and organize.
$3,770 is what we needed when I last checked this. We're getting very close to this. We only have 4 minutes or 3 minutes, depending on whether, you know, this is more important than other things. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262.
Where are we? Where are we at this point?
Well, I don't know. I'm getting the latest figures are coming in.
I'm told that if we're close, we can go until 2930.
Okay.
But that's it. Even you can't go beyond that.
Well, that's right. I have long ago realized that even though I'm the president of this company, I report to everybody else here.
Exactly.
I realize that.
The rule of law is in place right here at WAMC, ladies and gentlemen.
But let's just see if we can do this by 25 after. 800-323-9262. 262 is the telephone number. It's the Lockbox Challenge. And we start our on-air drive on Monday morning at 6. And
I Parlez-vous français?
No.
Okay. So that's all I have, except to remind everybody, you can get into the Tanglewood on July 28th. It's the most beautiful, wonderful music festival in the world.
Now, this is a twofer, right? You can go twice,
yeah,
same
they're
day?
They're doing Wagner, and they have it's got a lot of opera, which a lot of people love.
Double shot of Wagner.
A lot of people love that.
Doesn't it take more than one day to get through Wagner? I thought it took like months.
Well, it depends if you're doing
that's
the whole
therapy
cycle.
After.
Yeah. I think that's a slight exaggeration.
It's almost
here we start again.
Leave it to the German to defend Wagner, huh?
1-800. No, I'm not defending him, but, you know, we have to stick with the facts, people. We are a factually based.
Vera Carius Kelly, you are so,
facts,
so right.
F-A-C-T, not F-A-T. No, yeah.
Oh.
1-800-323-9262. I just wanted to call her on in case she was making people who were, you know, obese, uncomfortable.
I see.
Are you serious now? Are you serious?
Yes. He's the president.
Hey, Vera, here's a question. How do you say annoying little twerp in German?
Well, let's have a discussion afterwards.
Okay, fair enough.
If you'd like me to come back at any point in the future, we better not do this.
Well, once again, the Fun Drive Challenge is on the way to being done, and we're getting close now.
2,000. Okay.
What?
Okay. We made it.
We made it. Yay!
Yay!
All right.